Venturing northeast in the world of Iridiana, we travel to Exalos, a queendom ripe with cutting-edge technology, powered by steam, powered by science. There was gas being used to make light, steam to move large vehicles so that horses didn't have to be used, an object called a microphone to make anyone's voice louder, things that could make writing or sewing go by so much faster. Even the new automatons no longer needed magic to operate and work on menial tasks. The days of depending on the weave were no longer a halt to progress. They believed they were no longer restricted by the confines of the limit that the old tyrants, the fae gods, who were long since vanquished, had placed upon the world. We then focused to the most northern east city of the country, the lands of the Duke of the North, the man who ruled the icy domain, being a half-brother to the reigning queen. To those that live there, winter was always harsh and biting at their skin, a stinging numbness that refreshed the body. Blankets of crystal white snow always covered the land. Spring could see the occasional growth of green peek through the white, but it made no difference to the long, darker days of winter. The trees stood tall, firmly planted in the ground, providing breaks in the cutting winds. The Duke's castle and walls around the city stood sturdy and posed itself against the landscape. Each stone fortifying the foundation that protects the people against the cold, as well as the darkness. As the younger brother to the queen, he could not go to war against the dragons, so instead he decided to shoulder the responsibilities of vanquishing the darkness and becoming a Daybreak Warden. Going through the city, past the Daybreak Warden base known as Frostburn, and outside the town, we travel the well-walked-upon route towards a crevice in the earth, towards Rhapsody's Spine, a mountain range that spanned Exalos and into the southern desert country of Auriel. It created a large opening for those that were permitted to climb down, the depths dangerous for anyone untrained in the darkness. But this was another way into the Underdark. The further one went, the closer they got to the catacombs, an ancient structure of some sort of infested, with horrid creatures that thrived without the sun. Three folk were in a room, the walls made of ancient stone and crystal that enclosed them in the space. One, a warforged maiden, sleek and slender design with the subtle blue glowing runes that were etched into their metal. They were known as Akura 70558, denoting they were a model from the last 50 years or so. But they were lovingly nicknamed as Crystal. The second, Snuggler the Crusher, or what he insists is Klelrak Toskun, a young white dragonborn man dressed from head to toe of dark pelts and furs. And they both look to my player and his character. Could you introduce yourself, please, and thank you?
I would love to. They look to a 4 foot-ish, 4.5 foot-ish. Let me actually check my page here because I wrote it down. A 5'2", excuse me, 5'2", foot tall, counting the ears, absolutely. We count those ears. Mm-hmm. Tall. What is a herringon is what D&D calls it, but frankly, it's a rabbit folk. And so he's got black fur. His feet have gray fur. His palms are like unnaturally white. The fringes around his fur, on where his like whiskers would be, have these like white fringes. And he is in a suit of armor, essentially. He's got the scale mail armor with leathers around it. And for the most part, he's covered in furs, and he's got these metal shoulder pieces and a hood up where his ears stick out of his hood. One of his ears actually has a good chunk taken out of the tip of it. And the unique piece of this is that he actually has armor on his face, almost like a helmet, but there's that middle pane that would go down his snout. Like that, there's a black metal plate, and on that is the lantern, the symbol for the torches, the wardens. Mm-hmm. That's where his symbol sits. That way it's forefront to everybody's mind. Of course, he has weapons, but I don't think we necessarily need to go into all those details until necessary. But most importantly, sitting aside his shoulder is a small silver hawk, his companion. And the hawk actually has its own like furs around its neck, Like, he made him a little cute little, almost like a fur jacket, so he stays warm.
And who are you?
Oh, right. I should tell my name. My name, or my character's name more accurately, is Mac Floppy Ears.
Well, I meant by you, Dwayne, but, you know.
Oh, right. Well, I just figured everybody knew. That's my fault. Hi, I'm Dwayne Beeden. I play as a Haragon.
Thank you. They both look to you, starting to do some hand signs and gestures towards you. Basically, just trying to find out where to next.
That's a great question. And so... basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look back at them, also silent, and then I'm going to make a fist with one hand and raise it above my head, palm facing forward, signifying to them that they should hold their position as I then start to slowly move forward with my beautiful bird companion. Let's just check through all the things I know. Great. Yeah, perfect. And so I'm gonna just move forward through these catacombs. I think we have already been clearing this level, and so we've went through some of the beasts, or the undead monsters, the things that go bump in the dark. And just kind of lead the way. And after I go a little bit forward, and I imagine I find like a bend, like a turn, where they no longer can have good eyesight on me, I motion them forward to follow.
Yeah, and they will definitely come over and follow as quietly as they can be. I imagine in the catacombs... one of the very reasons that you want to be quiet is there's a thing called a cackler, and it tries to trick you. Usually trying to lay magic upon your ears and make you unable to fight, mainly by laughter or trying to sound like your other buddies. And they follow. Most of this layer of the crypt, though, you found chickens, which you guys call the bad kind, and for D&D standards, they look like abyssal chickens. They're mean little motherfuckers. They're like little featherless things with a big old mouth and sharp pointy teeth and a tongue. Doesn't seem like they have any eyes. They're the bad chickens, and it's mostly of what you guys have found at this level. And today is one of the weird days where it's kind of been the most clearest you've been able to, like, see this area. Like, you guys have been working on it.
Is it safe to say this level is fairly clear at this point?
At this point, I think so. You guys handled a few things, and it seems to be, like, a good day.
With that in mind, feel free at any point to correct me. I think...
No, we're creating this together, so good.
Absolutely. So I think we look around the bend, seeing that, frankly, there's nothing left and we've hit a dead end for this level of the crypt. So then I would go through... Oh, man, it sure would be... Ah, yes. All right, perfect. So then I would turn to my compatriots, extend both my arms out to the sides, palms facing forward, and slowly bring them towards my chest, almost to give, like, the regroup, which that actually is the regroup flicker hands form of communicating. And then I'm going to make a slashing motion across my neck with an open palm. With an open palm? Interesting. And that's going to be, like, the sign as, like, a retreat. So, and that would signify these two cohorts of mine, these brothers in arms, to retreat back to the stairwell that we've been descending to go further down this this catacombs, because we make a semi-quasi kind of camp at each stairwell. But then every so many levels, there's almost like a small forward operating base where, like, more people can gather. So yeah. I think we head back that direction.
I like it. We can definitely do that. They'll both acknowledge the order given and be like, okay, we agree. We'll follow. And you guys head back off to check out the main camps. Maybe, send reports to someone in charge, or what do you think is happening here?
So I imagine that these small camps we make that are just kind of at each floor are really for whatever squad or platoon are working it. So I think we would have to ascend up a few levels to get to a more centralized gathering point. But I think that would be the case, that we would head up to get rations, to get warm food, to do mail checks, order checks. I imagine there's bounties or not bounties, but orders that, you would go and check in for, because we're not just rogues here. We follow our orders.
Right. I think when you're in the safety of camp, Snuggler will wrap one arm around you, kind of relieved, sweat off the brow, his little copper Daybreak Warden insignia on the side, and be like, oh man, I was scared shitless, but you did great. I was so worried, but they said you were a pro, and you're a pro.
I think Mac just kind of gives him a small smile and pulls his hood back now that he's in the cover of safety. And you can see more of that white fringe on his head and his ears. And he says, yeah, we did fine. And in fact, you did great. Not bad for one of your first times out.
Oh, I got more confidence as we went through and saw the both of you. He'll gesture to Mac and Crystal. The relief was gone, or was there. And I felt like we accomplished something great today. We took care of all the dark things in this area, and he'll just pull you both into a big hug kind of vibe.
And you hear the squawking of the silver bird. Careful, you're hurting Sora.
Oh,
careful.
No, sorry. I'll be wary of my arms. I'm sorry. I try to get the furs so the scales don't hurt anybody else, but he'll kind of chuckle.
On the bright side, it tastes like chicken, and he pulls up one of those bad kind of chickens. Hungry?
He'll make a face sure. Let's do it. That's tradition, right?
Somebody's got to have some honey and herbs and spices. Yeah, let's go. Let's find somewhere to cook this bird.
Crystal.
Oh, not you, Sora.
Sora over here squawking I'm offended. Yeah, Crystal will look over and kind of gesture to where the main group is, where they all seem huddled up over a campfire. Well, they might have the luck pots, I believe you call them.
I think it's potluck, but I can be wrong.
Maybe it is potluck. Why not luck pot?
I like luck pots better, actually.
They will nod.
Yeah, he heads over.
You guys will find yourself in a big gathering of wardens, maybe 6 to 8 of them. I say big, but it's kind of small squadrons that work together in these little areas, and they're all just kind of hanging out, keeping their voices low, not to attract attention, but also it's a little more lively to keep warm and the area bright.
Yeah, and reading the room, I think Mac joins this circle and either looks for a piece of rubble to sit on, or he potentially just kneels on his knees and slowly pushes forward his bird to wait for his turn. Not his bird, his abyssal chicken, his bad kind of chicken, forward to wait its turn to cook it. Mm-hmm. And he's just more quiet. In this room, would he be one of the older torches?
I think he would be.
Senior?
one of the older torches here. One of the elderly, quote-unquote, fighters. Yeah. He's been around a lot longer than most of these folks, but not all of them are new Copper Strikers. You have other torches who have been out a few runs, as well as a few lanterns who kind of, like, man the base, make sure that it's safe for everybody to come back to. They're all just hanging out, having a good time.
And what would you say the temperament between the torches and the lanterns is in this particular camp?
In this particular camp, because you guys are in the north of the Duke of the North territory, they're a little more friendlier here than where it might be in most places. You've had the comparison of living outside of this area about, what, 15 years ago? They're not as...
give or take.
Competitive. They're still like the light competition.
The light
between.
Ribbing.
Yeah. Yeah. But never like anything cynical or like trying to make fun of the other guys. Because at the end of the day, your job is to all protect the light and vanquish the darkness. And that is a goal amongst all wardens. And as fun as it is to like poke fun at the others, the lanterns tend to have the cushier jobs, but here it seems to all be the same, almost.
Yeah, and I think Mac's viewpoint of the lanterns is one of respect, even though he would never do their job.
they keep the thing safe, and they talk to a lot of people, make sure they're more sound for new recruits who might be scared shitless, who did not do well on their first run, or even local people. But because you're under here, you don't have to worry about locals so much. It's very rare you find people of the Underdark in the catacombs area.
I think Mac will say to the group, both his companions, Senor Crusher and Crystal, and the group as well, as he pulls out bones essentially, mm-hmm. and begins to like carve at them, and he says, anything new to report? Anything dangerous?
So one of the others, a little gnomish guy that goes by Pop, he'll speak up. The upper two floors, it's all clear. You guys have been keeping it safe down there. Rarely anything gets up from this point onwards. And then another fellow, the joys of being a DM is making up a name.
And I'm gonna make it happen. I just whole group, let me communicate with my compatriots.
Oh, I love it. I don't mind it, and I will take the names that are suggested. I'm going to call him Soible. Soible will be like an elven woman, and she'll kind of like very straight face. We're like, the lower floors are having some trouble, but nothing that no one can't handle. We haven't had a bad raid in a while, so far so good. It might be another couple weeks before another major mob comes through. Based on movements of everything.
He like stretches as he's like carving these bones. It sounds like we're not doing our jobs then. If we can't push forward, gonna have to beat that timetable, huh?
We might have to go down a few levels and just move this camp down so we can keep on working. But the peace was nice and all.
Boring. Peace is boring.
Snuggler will kind of like look at you like, man, I like the break. Like, you get the vibe of like, can we just take a break from me? But he'll speak up. So like, are you making something like friendship bracelet out of those bones, or what are you doing with those?
Do you want a friendship bracelet? I could make you one. And he like pulls up this bone. But right now, I'm making arrows.
Oh, no, if it's for work, then you should do your work things.
I mean, you know what? The next time we get some of these bad chicken beaks, I'll make you a necklace. So on board.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, sounds great. I mean, most copper, you guys survived for a while, so you're probably going to get a necklace. That'll be great.
He looks concerned for a quick second. I'm like, huh, you're funny. I like ya. And then you'll see everybody like start up the chatter, right? The chatter of all the fun shit. And they'll get your abyssal chicken to like put onto the luck pot.
just kind of toss it.
Start cooking,
on there.
And you're
yes.
You're vibing. You're chilling. It's like a moment of reprieve from the hours of work you've done beforehand, and probably the hours of work you'll do in the next hour or so. However, like as you sit there, something weird happens. Like no mail appears, but there's kind of like a little sparkle, a little zing, little what I call would be magic that goes through your brain.
Okay.
And you recognize the voice that rings in your head. And it goes, "Sorry for how I left things, but I need your help, my brother. It's urgent. Silver Blossom, 22nd. Honey Run, Avon Lee. 6 days south of HQ." Now, Mac wouldn't really know that's the sending spell, but for those of us who do know what that is the sending spell.
Yeah, I would agree. I think his ear perks up and like twitches a little bit, and he stops feeding these little chicken nuggets to Sora. Mm-hmm. "What the?" he says audibly. "God?"
A few of them will look over to you, like to your voicing, and it's like the crystal will kind of like do the head tilt, and you'll see the glow of the blue runes of her eyes be like, "You okay?"
Probably not a good sign that I'm hearing voices in my head that gave me an address.
No.
And called me brother. That's not normal. Right?
I do not believe it is normal unless the voice in your head is your own voice, but I do not know how that works.
Yeah, do you have a voice in your head, Crystal? Like that monologues for you, or do you just like see pictures? This is really important for me.
I think there's a straight look with the Warforge. Like, it's hard to see what's going on there. And it's definitely like perhaps the cogs are turning.
All right, fair enough.
I don't know. Now I will have to ponder upon this.
Yeah, I think I just created a logic loop in you. That's okay, for me.
With your knowledge, that does ring to be Oshin.
Oshin.
For the person you know it to be, that one person who abandoned you a while ago. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me about that moment?
Yeah. So, I imagine. I guess I don't imagine. I recall. Mac recalls this memory, where. There were a few platoons of torches backed by the support of lanterns, and they were essentially charging not this catacomb per se, but another catacomb, and like fighting through this snowy uphill battle against a horde of monsters. And side by side fighting this like wave of monsters, Oshin, who's a powerful fighter in his own right, in their own right, and you know, Mac was fighting alongside Oshin, and you know, both of them were kind of making a bottleneck to prevent this horde from passing by unscathed. And you know, Max starts to get overwhelmed himself, and he looks for his brother in arms, and he notices he's not there. And so Mac is now, you know, backpedaling towards the squad, the platoon of, you know, fellow Daybreak Wardens. And Mac, like, is watching his allies, his brothers, these compatriots he's served with for at least at this juncture months, and they're starting to fall. And he sees Oisin retreating down the hill away from the catacomb in full retreat. And that's not something you do as a warden. It's disgraceful at best. There's a difference between a coordinated retreat and just full on fleeing. And from Mac's perspective, Oisin was turning tail and bolting. So Mac has not seen or heard from Oisin since then, and frankly, has a poor taste in his mouth for Oisin.
So, given that information, he did reach out for you to come, and you would know that 6 days south of HQ from where you are, that's about a 2 months travel, and if you were to make it there by that date, you might want to leave in the next few hours. You don't have much time to make it there on time.
So let me just pull that back. 6 days south of the headquarters?
Yes.
Is where I'm being instructed to go. That's Silver Blossom?
Yes.
Okay.
Silver Blossom 22nd is the date.
Okay, so
Honey Run Avonlea is the place.
Avonlea. All right, thank you. Avonlea? Oh, I like that name, Avonlea. How long does it take me to get to headquarters?
That's...
Give or take,
that will be 7 days less than 2 months.
7 days less than 2 months, got it. So we're looking at 53 days or 43 days, whatever that is. 30, mm-hmm. 53 days. Yeah, I mean, I think so. So there's got to be, in my mind, in Mac's head, a forward operating base, not like this, but almost like at the surface, where mm-hmm. an officer would be, somebody who actually calls the shots, who has way more knowledge. And I think Mac, doing his job, doing his role, you know, looks to Crusher and Crystal and says, I'm hearing voices. Unfortunately, voices I know. And these lanterns, they do weird magic mumbo jumbo. So I need to report this to the powers that be. So I've got to ascend to the top of the catacombs and report this, like, now. Realistically, your orders are different. So I understand you staying here. Be careful. Don't get yourself hurt. When I come back, inevitably, I expect everyone to be like 10 to 15 floors down, realistically. Deal?
Snuggler will look at you and kind of like grin stupidly through those dragonborn teeth. I'll be promoted by the time you get back.
Sucks to be you. Yeah. Yeah, sucks to be you. Unless you want to be a torch, then. But if you end up being an officer, he, like, flicks his nose. Come on, man. You can do better than that.
Tilt his head. Like, to do better than that? Yeah, I can. He'll, like, puff up, look ready to take on the day, I guess. So, where are you off to?
He's gonna ascend. I don't really know how many floors he is down, but him and Sora, he most importantly, he takes a big chunk of that bad chicken and begins to eat it on his way up. And as he goes up, he's chatting with Sora. So I'm either going crazy or Ocean is sending a message. The fucking good berries on that guy to send me a message asking for help after what he did? Okay. This is fucking ridiculous.
Sora will just kind of like turn head, do a little chirp, as if trying to like smack talk back in each turn.
Hell yeah. That's right. And when we get to him, or them, you better poke the shit out of them. Yeah? He like feeds him another little chicken nugget. Yeah, all right. And so I think he ascends and looks for the officer, whoever is in charge, the commander.
Yeah.
So he approaches this commander.
I feel like at the top, you would find the Duke there because he also has to participate.
The Duke is here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you can talk to him directly.
Well, I was surprised.
He's the highest guy in charge, yeah.
Well, right, but I had assumed he might be at this, Frostburn.
He is between Frostburn and here. This is one of the instances he could be here.
And he, like, approaches the Duke and kind of gives a little head bow. Duke?
He'll just nod.
I know it's strange to be abandoning my post mid-orders, but the queerest thing happened to me. I heard voices in my head that sounded like that traitorous bastard Oshin.
I'll look at you a little puzzled.
That's how I felt. He told me to meet him at Avonlea Lane, Rainbows, Kittens, Honey, Boons. But anyways, Silver Blossom, the 22nd, I'm supposed to meet him there. Them there. Should I?
He'll ponder it for a second. Look like he's thinking it over. Have you ever heard the voice of Oshin in your head before?
He thinks and he taps on his like metal plate on his nose. No.
Oh, I've heard of magic from old books.
Fucking lanterns. He like puts his hand in his face.
You'll see a little smirk at the like the tiny corner of his lip, but he doesn't keep it there for long. Back to straight face, tough guy. If the information and intel is true, then we might be able to actually get him and make him
bring him to justice, as it were.
Yeah, bring him to justice, as Avon is just like, it's not punishment. It's not the word I want.
We could kill him. I hear you, Duke. But that's what the monsters do.
Some justice for the event would be more than enough.
Perfect. I will bring him back dead or alive, preferably alive and in one piece. Sora, yes?
You have permission to go ahead for this mission. However, you said the Silver Blossom 22nd?
Yes.
You'll need to take the mountain underground passes through the Underdark to get there the fastest.
Music to my ears.
You said Avonlea?
Yes, Avonlea, yes.
He'll nod. Be swift. Keep the light on.
I usually do. Always on the 8th. Important piece, though, Duke. Could I just get these orders written up with your signature? Because I guarantee one of those gold bastards is going to make a thing of it, and I don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah, the amount of paperwork the Tellus side of the mountains wants you to go through is insane. And he'll like go and write up a formal document very quickly, like saying your mission to go retrieve a warden that went AWOL. You have the Duke's permission. Just let him through kind of vibes, a fancy signature and a seal.
All right. He puts that in his chest pocket somewhere. Perfect. Duke, it would be silly of me not to ask, but do you have anything you want to like give me for the trip? Like to make it easier by any chance? Like a horse or some magical token of your appreciation? If not, I'm hearing things, so at this point I don't know what's happening.
Most of the supplies have to be for the men here. I do apologize. We can't spare much this winter.
Totally fine. Not that I need it. All right, Sora, let's go kill some things. And then we'll get a guy. Gal. Ocean. We're gonna get Ocean.
And off you go onto this adventure to go through the Underdark and through the mountains. Find my notes.
Mac is giddy. There's nothing he likes more than one, fucking murdering things in the dark, and two, going through underground passages to get places, because it's just more opportunity to slay the fucking darkness. And he has been just imagining getting answers and or revenge. Not necessarily in that order, but he's not happy.
I get it. As a warden, you would know of the underground passages and how you guys would mark it off to know which ways are a little bit safer to go, or like if groups of one or two or three need to go through to get to some place quickly. And you make it easy through the underground places. Eventually, you'll be above mountain and get to the Tomorrow Springs.
So I think, let me just add a little flavor there. Yeah. Knowing these tunnels are relatively safe and that for the most part, he's not going to attract, like run into danger. He pulls out, as he's traveling, these bird pipes that he has, and he almost like plays little tunes, and Sora kind of sings along, almost like inviting creatures, like come the fuck on. but of course, finding nothing, he will ascend into the light.
Sounds good. No, I do like that attracting monsters causing trouble. Yeah. Don't plan to kill you on the one-on-one yet, so...
Bring it on. My next character will just be Sora the bird. You're welcome.
Excellent. So you are at Tomorrow Springs. It's a lake up top. And then you go down the Lightning River, which brings you towards another mountain pass where the port is.
So and this then, river, am I walking alongside it?
Boat, sorry.
Or I get in a
bad.
Boat?
You get
no,
in a
No, I'm just
boat.
Curious. Is it like a kayak or is it like a boat boat?
It's like a boat boat. They do trade up and down this river.
Sick, okay, cool.
So it's super easy to get down. It saves you some time. You go through the other Warden mountains because there's mountains on both sides of the river, you know? And as you travel, where's my note? Could you roll a perception for me?
Oh, boy, can I, Avon. I would love you and my character to have this perception roll. So let's just do that right now, because it's going to be good. Don't you betray me, dice. That would be a 24.
Oh, you super see something off to the side. It looks like on the ground there was a scuffle, and as you follow like the scuffle and all the bits, you start to see drops of blood and bits of like cuts of clothing, like bits of cape or shirt or whatever. Like something bad happened, and off in one of the bushes you see like a boot. And somebody, you can hear like groaning of a person.
Like a person? From where I'm standing. This is so fucking easy. I look to my companion and I say, Sora, go find out if that's evil or somebody who needs help. Quick, go.
And Sora will go over and fly. And with the familiar,
a flight
right?
speed of 60 feet. No, he's not a familiar. He is a bestial companion.
So what can they do?
Yeah, he is. So really, he's just like a beast companion. He doesn't like do like that much crazy shit. So he's a beast of the sky.
How do they communicate with you?
They don't, other than like how he does now, like chirping and stuff. He totally understands the languages I speak, but he doesn't speak back. Like, he doesn't speak words. He speaks in like actions, you know? Like, yeah. I understand what he's trying to vibe, but he can't say, hey, boss, there's like a bird. Like, there's 17 of them. Like, but he can kind of give me danger vibes or like friendly or not friendly. So
Sora will go over and fly. And the chirp that you hear is the familiar one of, come check this out. It is not a bat.
Oh, 100%. I'm on this boat, right? On this river?
Oh, no. Off the boat, in the mountains. You're
off
walking
the boat?
Again.
Oh, fuck it. I'm heading right over there. And I think, so is this a danger situation or an inquisitive noise that he gives me?
Inquisitive. Like, you need to come see this out.
I approach pretty regularly, and I see said boot, and I pull the bushes across.
And you'll see a little human man, about blonde, deep stab wound, and you can see an armband across him with a... copper look to it. The
Mac
blood kind of spearing.
And assesses him. You silly boy. Can you speak?
You kind of get groans and then like a gesture of like a direction before his hand kind of just goes limp.
Is he dead? Can I determine if he's dead?
He's looking like he's dying or on death right now.
But he's not dead.
Close to dead.
Like if I put my finger to him and like do a pulse, he's alive.
You do a pulse, he dead. Like there's not a beat there.
So he's dead. Okay. Okay, well, that's not the deal. So Mac pulls the like armband off. Is there like any identifying information on that armband that signifies like who he was or anything like that?
On the armband, no. But you would know that most wardens do carry like the warden handbook.
That would have their name in it. All right.
That would usually have their name in it.
So I pull this handbook off of his body and look for the name.
You'll get... I bring up things and forget to give them names.
Yes.
I'll go with... I see the names in the chat and it's bad. You'll get a Stanley Smith. So boring, so simple.
Oh, Stanley. So he takes this book and he puts it in his bag, like his where he keeps everything else. And this is in bush. This is in brush. So he's going to pull one. I'm going to take note of which direction he pointed.
Mm-hmm. Noted.
All right, cool. All right. And then I pull him free out into the clearing because I imagine I was in a clearing.
Kind of off the road, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna get some brush and I'm gonna fucking burn him. And so I set his body ablaze. We do that for several reasons: one, honoring them, and two, making certain that they don't rise against us. Knowing the curse and the battle they have to go. And so I think he stands up, and Sora kind of is like you know, staying near him, but is not perched on him. He died. So, Mac's gonna pull out his two short swords, that are fucking, they are sterling silver in appearance, the blades. Mm-hmm. And the blades essentially look like fucking giant feathers. And he's gonna march forward, just like looking for danger. High alert, ready to go.
Roll me your survival to track this down. I want to see how long it takes you.
I would love to. Do, 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 do. That would be a dirty 20.
Oh, excellent. You can track down the trail no problem. Like, there were, like, spatters of blood, but then you could tell, like, the further you got, the more it was more, like, broken branches, as if somebody was trying to get it away. You'd also notice the subtle boot prints in the grass. Seeing as how you have a 20, you can tell there's at least two of them in this situation that ran away. And it's boot marks. It's people. Though,
And they don't seem to be... I want to ask a question. They don't seem to be... staggered or drug in any way, so I don't have the undead vibe upon them. This seems like somebody walking with a normal gait. Okay, cool.
Running and then walking kind of gait. Okay. Like, we caused a problem, we ran away, and we started walking. And this will lead you with your bunny ears, and I think you're passive, you'd be able to hear, like, the sounds of a camp up ahead.
Yeah, I have a passive of 17.
Yeah, no, you're good. You hear a camp up ahead, kind of vibe, like in a cave, it's like the little echoes.
So I'm hearing the echoes of multiple voices. Mm-hmm. Can I determine, and I won't be greedy, still less than four people?
Still less than four people, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Slowly, even though this is going to go poorly, I'm going to go ahead and, like, crouch down and begin to stealthily approach this camp.
Mm-hmm. Stealthy.
So, yeah. So, hold on. So, I roll those with disadvantage, so that's fun. I got a 15, though.
You think you're stealthy.
All right, perfect. Sora needs to roll one. Don't want to forget about him. Hmm. Sora gets a +3 to his stealth rolls. You fucking quacker. Sora gets a natural 20 for a 23. That motherfucker believes he is stealthy.
Just disappeared off of the face of the world. You don't know fucking where Sora went. Going, like, sneaking around, maybe up in the skies, maybe just in that spot of the sunlight, you know?
So I approach, blades drawn, ready to go.
And as you see the camp. There seems to be three guys there. There's a fire. They're kind of, like, chatting. They have booze. And kind of like a makeshift area where it kind of looks like it's home base, right? Like, there's stuff settled into the corner. There's barrels, there's buckets, there's, like, various trinkets hanging on the side. And you might be able to assume these guys might be bandits, because they're definitely talking shit about how they got this one kid with blonde hair and stole all the gold off of him.
Boy, howdy, are they going to regret that.
Yeah.
So, let's see, because, I mean, I don't... Yeah, I think... I see three of them. They look like bandits. It's safe to say I have the drop on them. So...
And they also seem drunk. So, if you would like, you can go narrative combat, roll me your, what... Would you like heart?
I don't even know. I mean, I think body, because I'm about to, like, knowing they're drunk and the rage of what I'm going to do. First things first, before I go into narrative combat, I'm going to bring my boy down. I'm going to call him down. And I'm going to cast Beast Bond on my boy. And basically that means... if it was a beast that I didn't know, they would be friendly or charmed by me, but Sora is always charmed by me. So now Sora and I can understand each other with telepathic messages. And as long as he's within 5 feet of me, he gets advantage on his attacks. And then we're just going to charge. We're going to, like, as not like full on sprint. We're going to like go as stealthily as we can until we're noticed or we're within striking range. When we get noticed, I want to charge, or Mac wants to charge, and he will ask questions after he's down to one person.
Okay, cool beans.
So I have a body of 3 rounded down, because it's 7 divided by 2. And there's a table that you're going to need, Avon. Let me pull. Yeah. I think you have it?
I have 1 to 2 fail with a cost, 3 to 4 succeed at a cost, 5 or greater. That one.
I think I want to start with trying to just nuke or straight up murder 2 of these guys.
Yeah. Sure. Go for it.
So, okay. Let me check. I think I'm just going to do the roll. I don't need to do anything fancy. We're just starting. So, D6 plus 3.
Isn't there like a way you roll at an advantage?
I could. Because... like, I could start burning class or racial feats, but I mean, I rolled a 5 plus 3. That's like an 8.
Oh, yeah. You're good. You... 2 of those guys go down so quickly, they didn't even know you were there.
Yeah, I imagine the way that plays out is I sneak up behind one and just take him out with across the neck. But Sora, being this fucking bolt of lightning sometimes, just gets the other guy across the neck. And they don't have a chance to speak. And so that leaves one guy as I'm standing there, blood everywhere, truthfully, and say... okay, 2 down, 1 to go. Question is, why the fuck would you target a warden? And he raises his sword, levels it at the guy.
Drunkenly, this guy will kind of like try to do the finger thing to move the sword. It's like, easy target, man.
He lets the sword move down and then snaps it right back. Like, I asked you a question.
And I answered the question.
Why did you kill a warden? Because he was an easy target?
Wanted his stuff. What are you going on about?
Ah, good point. Sora, take his eyes.
I will not go into how gruesome it goes.
Perfect, but he accomplishes it. Excellent. Mac is going to put his blades back, and then he's going to walk over to one of the other guys amidst the shouting, and he's going to tear some of their cloth off, and he's going to walk over to this bandit. He's going to tie a blindfold around him, essentially. And then, you know, some gruesome ways that he stops the bleeding. And then he's going to say... all right, I didn't get your name, but it doesn't matter. Here's the deal, boy. You're going to go around these towns around here and all the bandit boys that you know, and you're going to send an express message. If you fuck with wardens, it's going to hurt. I'm going to take eyes, I'm going to take legs, I'm going to take knees. I don't care. We protect you from what's in the dark. I'll be damned if you're going to spit on our goals, spit on our traditions, and rob our recruits of their lives. Do you understand me?
Roll me your intimidation.
Oh, I would love to. This motherfucker better be intimidated. Oh, I'm not good at this, but he better be intimidated. That's a 10.
You kind of hear like a scoff, like through the pain, and like mumbles of like, yeah, right.
Yeah, cool. I draw a blade and shove it into his right knee.
That boar screams and profanities.
How are we feeling about your message now?
You'll get like the fine, we'll deal with it kind of like, yeah, I'll tell all the guys.
Perfect. And there's a campfire here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I go ahead and just warm up my blade and seal up that wound.
Perfect.
More screams. Yeah.
All right. Well, you'll have quite the hobble and an interesting time getting back, but by all means, go.
Guy runs off.
Oh, he fucking hobbles off.
He hobbles off, probably right into a tree, my dude.
Hell yeah. and so because I can telepathically communicate with my boy, still. Let me see the range on that. Doesn't seem to have a range, so that's cute. So I'm going to say whatever the range is, we'll deal with that later. I basically, Sora, follow him, and just have Sora follow him until Sora can't communicate with me anymore, and then he comes back. In the interim, I want to fucking go through these dead guys and make sure anything that's related to the wardens, I pull back, because they're not going to fucking, we're not leaving that here. And then if they have gold, I'll take gold.
Yeah, sure. You will get 6 gold, 8 silver, and some amount of copper.
He'll leave the copper. He's not super worried about that. He does take 2 of the silver four of the silver pieces. He's not going to collect. Mm-hmm. He's going to lay these bodies face up and put silver coins on their eyes.
Gotcha. And you will also find a book. It's very raunchy, one of them. Another book, and it's a journal, and it will have our dear whatever Smith's name was.
Stanley.
Stanley. It will have Stanley's name in there. It seems to be like a journal cataloging missions. Inside of it, there is like a little photograph of like a family. Seems to be like a younger sibling and a parent, as well as him. And lastly, you will find a green and teal rabbit's foot on a chain.
That's hurtful. he picks it up, kind of. That's fucked up. Puts it in his bag, but I'll take it.
And that's what you got off of that. And that was an adventure at the bottom of Queen's Claw Mountain Range, just so you know. And I'm pressed for time. So you go through the Field of Lights and down towards the headquarters. I imagine you check in because
yeah, Daybreak Wardens usually check in. Yeah, I just show my orders to get through, maybe get some good food, stock up on any fucking supplies, and then move through.
And then you go through Bellport and into the next place. I was pulling up all the things, so I lost my place in my document.
That's okay. I'm just taking notes.
Okay. You smell in the air first the nipping breeze of winter and the grasslands long past you. Sweet floral scent taking its place. It's fresh and different from your home, the unfamiliarly warm, even though their winter still winds, of spring now on the horizon. You hear distant sounds of buzzing, the bumbling of bees that are waking from the changing of the weather, little bugs visiting the new blooms soon to be colorful sea of flowers. The scene almost feels warm, picturesque, in a way. Windmills and buildings and homes and barns off in the distance. Beehives dotting the green fields as well as the other farming lands and other crops too. But the one that stood out most against the scenery was a large woolly tree that seemed to tower over most of its budding brethren in the area. This tree certainly seemed very magical and seems reminiscent of that bright green that kind of hangs off of the rabbit's foot you have. As you journey, you see the familiar Winter Eladrin man ahead of you. His skin is pale as fresh blue frost. His hair a stark contrast of raven-colored black. He leans heavily on his scabbard as if it was a useful walking stick. He then struggles to stay on his feet, his armor clinking as he stumbles forward, his movement labored, and soon he's joined by a man running from the opposite direction. Elderly, big, puffy hair. Bird in his hair as well.
I approach and I know this to be Oshin. Yes,
Oshin. Yes, you know this to be Oshin. And when you see him, he looks pale, sickly.
Oshin. I have a lot of questions for you, and I have a blade drawn.
I have answers while he's holding the other man's hand, but I need your help. I didn't expect you to come.
The good berries on you to ask for my help after what you did.
You're the most resourceful I know, and I need it.
Flattery will get... No, wait, hold on. You did a bad thing. Why?
He'll offer his hand like, I need you to follow.
Listen, if this is a trick, Sora, if he does something crazy, take his eyes. Yeah? All right, great. I take his hand. Blade still in the other hand.
And that's where we'll end their episode.
Sora, you get his fucking eyes, motherfucker. If he does something up, you get him.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Fuck, that was good, Avon.
You're welcome.
Okay, all right.
Just because we are doing one-on-ones does not mean we stop our roles for humanity. Could you tell me a little about what's going on this month?
Absolutely. This is rare for me and grateful for me because normally this is Shane Soul's bag. So we're going to be rolling for the ASPCA, which is the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And boy, howdy, could that not be more appropriate, because you fuck with animals, you fuck with Sora, you lose your eyes. So we're going to be going ahead and rolling a D20, and we're going to hope for a crit. Big money. Not a crit, and fucking actually it's a 5. I'm so sorry, but the only way you can help is to roll at your table too. Please. But still, a 5. Any dollars is good dollars, so...
Of course it is. Amazing. Support our friends in need. Anyway, like we always say, we love you.
We love you.
Bye. Bye.
Sorry, get the eyes.